following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Flypod.com. I'm Mark DeWitt. Welcome to Cover to Cover. Today we have the author of her brand new book, Marriage Matters, Cynthia Ellingson. Cynthia, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me here, Mark.
Marriage Matters. What a self-help book.
Marriage Matters! Exclamation point. It's a fun little novel about a mother, a daughter, and a grandmother, and they all get engaged at the same time, and they think it's a fabulous idea to share a wedding. And of course, if you can imagine sharing a wedding with your mother and with your grandmother, it's a terrible idea.
It's not something everybody looks forward to.
It gets a little bit crazy. I like to say that I write disaster novels. But, you know, saying that, the novel itself, it's really fun. It's very family oriented. All sorts of shenanigans ensue. But ultimately, it's about the relationship between the three women, between the mother, daughter, and grandmother.
Does this idea start at the very first chapter where they're in Michigan, Long Lake, Michigan, at a wedding?
Yes.
On a sand dune?
On a sand dune. You know, I took a little, if you've ever been to Michigan, I certainly took a little artistic license with that one, because I don't think that they could get a bride's trailer all the way up on top of a sand dune. It might be, you know, a little collapsible. But the idea starts when the grandmother, June, she's my favorite character. She's 72 years old, very sassy, rocks a pair of stilettos, and she thinks she, you know, can manage everybody else's business. And however, when they're at the wedding, she doesn't want to do her business in the porta potty. So she sees the bride's trailer and says, okay, you know what? Come on, girls, we're going to sneak in there. But unfortunately, the bride is in there having a meltdown and thinking that she might go ahead and cancel her wedding altogether. And so the grandmother, who knows what's best for everybody, convinces her to go ahead and get married. So the girl tosses the bouquet kind of early as a thank you. And the grandmother, the mother, and the daughter, they all reach out and catch it, block it really, but end up catching it at the same time. And so that's the little piece that says, oh, maybe, you know, something's coming up here for all three of them.
Cynthia, you know, I've been to quite a few weddings, and I never think about, the meltdowns that happen before, and perhaps the mother of the bride or matron of honor coming out and saying, you know, thanks for coming, we'll go ahead and party, but the wedding's off for now. Does that happen a lot?
You know, that's one of the things that I think that weddings themselves are very emotional times. And that's why I chose it as the main plot of the book, is because it's something, it's a big change in a person's life. And I do think that it's frequent that people suddenly stop and say, oh gosh, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? And the theme of the book is kind of how your family keeps those relationships together and says, you know, hey, look, that's why it's three generations. The grandmother and the mother, they've already been through it. And so they can coach, you know, each generation on what to do. And actually, I should say that the mother, she's a little befuddled when she catches the bouquet, because she is already married. So she says, well, what the heck? You know, I'm not going to get married again. But of course, it ends up being a vow renewal ceremony instead.
And her husband, never home, even celebrating their, what, 25th wedding anniversary?
25th anniversary. They're struggling. Kevin and Christine are struggling in their marriage because, yeah, he's always traveling for work. He ended up losing his job in 2008, I guess, when everything shifted. And so he had to take a job doing sales across the country and management. And so he's never home. And it's a big adjustment for their relationship. In the past 5 years, Christine has lost the rock that she's relied on her entire life. And so the book opens at the point where it is their 25th wedding anniversary, and he's not there. And, you know, it's not that he doesn't want to be, and they talk about it on the phone and how they wish that they were together. But their relationship after 25 years has sort of stopped being a priority, because they think they have it in the can. And, you know, they don't. They need to keep working on it.
Chloe, the granddaughter, I don't know if she's ever going to get married, because she's not only going to school, but she's doing a lot of other things for school, part-time job. She has no time for anything.
She has no time for anything. Chloe, she's studying to be an art therapist. And so every single second of her life is completely booked up. And she's, I think she's one of those girls who has in her mind, you know, at first she's very linear. First, I'm going to get this done. First, I'm going to get my school done. Then I'm going to get my career. And then I'm going to worry about falling in love. But love doesn't work like that. It happens when it happens. And so she ends up getting swept off her feet by someone very unexpectedly. And maybe it's because she caught the bouquet and that's where her mind is, or maybe it's because he whipped out a fancy diamond ring that she didn't know how to say no to, but she gets swept up and suddenly it becomes more about the wedding than it does about the real relationship that she's found herself suddenly in, and perhaps maybe she should be marrying somebody else.
Well, Chloe, she's real good friends with somebody else. I mean, there was a time when it was almost like they were going to be in love and they become best friends. And you intertwine other men and you just never know what's going to happen. What is the challenge of that and keeping everything on track?
I think that as a writer, keeping everything on track is building the tension between the characters. And, you know, there's always... The reason that we read books and the reason A is, you know, I think to escape and to have a fun adventure and to see a life that we're not necessarily a part of. But I think that what makes us fall in love with characters is watching them learn and grow and change by the end of the book. And so they have to have obstacles to do that. And in love stories, sometimes, you know, some of the biggest obstacles are the fact that, oh, maybe you should actually be in love with somebody else. So Chloe, her best friend that you mentioned, his name is Ben, and they've been friends for life. You know, ever since they were kids, she protected him on the playground and, you know, they went through junior high together. But Ben suddenly changed and blossomed into this gorgeous Adonis of a man. And Chloe, she kept her eye on the schoolwork and her goals and her career goals. And I think that she doesn't really believe that Ben would see her as anything, any type of relationship potential. So she's very careful to keep their relationship in the friend zone until something happens to change that.
Marriage Matters, your brand new novel, seems like it's very dialogue driven. How do you keep that moving like that?
I started my career as a writer in Los Angeles writing screenplays, and I was working with my roommate. She actually was the one who convinced me to do it. I'd always wanted to be a writer, and I was sort of secretly writing novels and stuff, but being in Los Angeles, of course, it makes sense to go ahead and write a screenplay. And screenplays are dictated entirely by dialogue, and I came from an acting background, which is how I ended up out there, and it always fascinated me the way that a story can be told either on stage or through screenplays, just through dialogue. And so that as a device for writing, I think is so much fun. And I love trying to tell a story using dialogue, you know, having people talk the way that they really talk. And I think that that makes a story relatable and characters more relatable because you think, oh, okay, yeah, I know this person. I'm actually friends with this person because you recognize the way that somebody's speaking or a character is speaking.
That was the fun about reading Marriage Matters, because I could read this thing out loud. And I like to do that just to see how it flows and everything, or if it flows better if I just pretty much read it maybe a little faster in my mind. When you wrote Marriage Matters, were you actually reading the dialogue out loud? Were you the two or three characters that were in that particular scene?
Well, first of all, I would love, Mark, to see you reading Marriage Matters out loud. I would absolutely love to see that.
I was outside and the neighbors were looking at me.
And I have to say that it's a good thing that I primarily write indoors in my house. There have actually been moments in time, and actually this was in the whole package that this happened, but I was writing a scene with two characters and, you know, a male and a female, and they were in a fight and he was being infuriating. And so I was reading it out loud and I was so upset and I was saying, oh no, he didn't. I can't believe that happened. And my husband comes rushing into the office and he says, what's wrong? Are you okay? Is somebody in here? And so, yeah, that's the risk in reading dialogue out loud, is that people might think that, you know, you've gone a little batty, but it does help to hear it. And when writing, you know, to read what you have out loud and to see, okay, is this clunky? Does this fit in? Does this sound like this character? If I were to cover up all the names on the page, would I be able to identify which character is which? And if the answer is no, then you definitely have a little bit more work to do.
So here you are in Los Angeles writing screenplays, a lot different than writing a novel. Talk to me about the differences and what the challenges were for you when you first started writing, even your first novel, the whole package.
Mm-hmm. Or the difference in the challenge, I think, switching from writing screenplays to writing novels is the description. And to thinking that, okay, oh, I don't have to say how this character feels, or I don't have to show this particular emotion because the actor is going to do that for me, or the director is going to go ahead and do this shot, you know, and it'll say everything. However, when writing a novel, it's important that, I mean, you're the writer, you're the director, you're the actor, you're all of it. And so that was the challenge. And I think in my, I think that as time goes on, I'm getting to be a better writer in that sense, in with description and adding emotion and the visuals that otherwise in a screenplay I would have expected kind of would have been there for me.
Seems like some authors in their books, they over describe. I didn't see anything really over-described in Marriage Matters. Even the garden scene, there's a garden scene in there, which I think is rather funny, a little bit of comic relief sometimes. Nothing really over-described.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. The garden scene that you speak of is one of my favorite scenes in the book. It's where June, the 72-year-old who rocks Paris stilettos, the grandmother, she is a widow and she never thinks she's going to fall in love again. And she's upset, you know, she finds her refuge and her solace in gardening. And so then her neighbor, Charlie Montgomery, he dares to take on the task of, after his wife dies, the task of gardening. And he's out there in his garden, and she thinks that he's competing with her, and it just ruffles her feathers. And so the two of them begin this garden war situation, and she actually ends up doing something very naughty. She drops long-eared rabbits into his garden, and they eat all of his trilliums and his flowers, and so they battle back and forth with this fun garden scene that they have. But with description, I think it's a fine line. You know, it's important to make sure that the action keeps going at the same time while writing that description. And I think that that is one thing that writing screenplays helped me with, is that I do, and oh, it's a painful process, the outline, writing an outline before you start writing. You know, looking at that outline, I usually try and do a screenplay structure, and there are certain elements that keep the action moving in there. So yeah, it's good to hear that the description wasn't too much, but maybe just right.
Cynthia, let's find out about your life in Los Angeles. Screenwriter, is there things that you've done that we've seen either on television, the big screen, independent films? And where might we have seen you as an actor?
You know what? Probably not, actually. You probably haven't seen anything. When I first went out there, I did a lot of independent films. Funny story, actually. I studied theater in Chicago. And when I was living, I went to DePaul University. So when I was living in Chicago, I signed up for some extra work with, and I believe it was the movie The Chamber with Chris O'Donnell. So this was, you know, my first experience of anything in front of the camera at all in my life. And so we go to set, and the task as an extra is to be as innocuous as, just, you know, you're part of the walls. You're not supposed to stand out. You're not supposed to do anything except for be a realistic part of the scene. So here comes Chris O'Donnell, who was a really, you know, big deal at the time. This is big deal. And so the director calls action, and we're supposed to all be walking, you know, on the city streets. So I start following him. I'm just tailing him like a shadow. So everywhere he goes, I go. And finally, the director screams, "Cut!" And I'm thinking, oh, wow, yes, that was awesome. And then he says, "You." And I said, "Me? What? I must have done great, huh?" Well, apparently not. I wasn't supposed to be shadowing Chris O'Donnell. So can you find me in the chamber? I don't know. I'm going to have to go look now that I've told this, now that I've made this story public.
So they didn't call the police about a stalker on the set?
No, they have not. They did not call the police about a stalker on the set, which is a darn shame.
You know, Marriage Matters, you were talking a little bit ago about pretty much outlining the whole thing. When you outline it, you know, at home, do you have like different scenes and stuff maybe on your wall that you can refer to? Is it in a notebook? How do you do that?
What I have at home is three different whiteboards, and I use different colors of pen to write up on there. The trick is, of course, making sure that I grab the dry erase pens and not the Sharpies, because those can't be cleaned off. So I start with that to sort of do general outlines. And then from there, I use note cards. And note cards are really handy to write each scene. And this was a trick that I did learn from screenplay writing. So to write the different elements and action points of each scene on the note cards, and then you lay them all out on a table and you read through it, and you can see, okay, this happens here, this happens here. And if something isn't working, it's very easy to take a note card and to shift it to another part and then read through the whole thing again and say, oh, okay, this structure works a little bit better. Or this scene, you know what, it just really doesn't fit anywhere. It's got to go.
We were talking a little bit ago about how you can bring this book to life. We were talking about the dialogue. We were talking about how, in your mind's eye, you can actually see the place that you're talking about. How do you bring something like that to life?
I think that sometimes I wonder what authors did before Google Images existed, truly, because the whole package, my first novel, it opens up in Paris, and I've never, ever been to Paris before. Have to go. And so with that, I just went and I looked and looked and looked at tons of pictures of Paris, and I watched videos of Paris and all of that. And so that is one way to sort of get an authentic picture. On the flip side of things, I think imagination is a great thing to imagine. We all sort of have ideas and feelings and sentiments based around us. So, you know, this is what a wedding should look like. And imagining that, sort of the dream wedding or whatever, that can help paint a picture in my mind of what it is that I want to describe. For example, in Marriage Matters, the cake eating scene, there's a part where the grandmother and the granddaughter and the mother all go in for a cake tasting. And so the grandmother and the granddaughter decide to compete to see who can eat the most cake. And so with description, you know, there's probably, oh gosh, I don't even know, 15 different flavors of cakes that are in there and that they're trying in little cupcake form. And so describing each one of those, you know, I certainly didn't go and find myself a tiramisu and a carrot cake and a red velvet cake and, you know, and there were some cakes and flavors that I've never tried in my life. And you just kind of imagine, oh, I bet this would taste like that, and describe it that way. So that's the fun and the freedom that happens with fiction writing.
Paris, mentioned in Marriage Matters, but also in the whole package. Tell me a little bit about that book. Sounds like it does take place, at least part of it, in Paris.
Marriage Matters actually has Rome and Venice in there. And then the whole package has Paris in it. So talking about the whole package, what that's about, it's three best friends from high school. They're about to turn 40 and they all lose something. One loses a fortune, one loses a husband, and one loses her job, which she loves more than anything. And so it opens up in Paris with the one who loses her fortune. She's an artist, she's a painter, and she's inherited all this money from her husband, and she's blown it all. And so she ends up going back to her hometown of Schaumburg, Illinois, to be with her best friends. And since they're all kind of in the same place, a place they did not picture themselves to be in 40, at 40, they decide to embark on a saucy business adventure together. So they decide it would be a wonderful idea to open a male version, essentially, of the restaurant Hooters, and they call it The Whole Package. So again, as I said before, with Marriage Matters, I write disaster novels, apparently, because this, The Whole Package, is not a place that women want to go to. It is not a place where they want to consume their food. And so a lot of comedy and growth experience for these women happens to these women because of that.
I haven't read The Whole Package, but when you were describing that, it sounded like perhaps a little bit of comedy in this, maybe a whole lot of comedy in The Whole Package. Does comedy come easy? Or as you're writing, things just come naturally?
You know, I don't think I'm funny at all. And so, and yet somehow I guess that all the element of the ridiculous does tend to fall into what I write. And Marriage Matters was actually selected by Romantic Times as a humor pick contemporary must read of April 2013. So I guess I'm funny. I guess I'm, you know. But with The Whole Package, I think it would be impossible to have a restaurant staffed by scantily clad men without finding the funny in that. It's, you know, the opening, everything from when they audition the waiters all the way to the opening of the restaurant to how they decide to revamp the restaurant is pretty hysterical, because it's outrageous, but it's absolutely fun to read about.
You know, I guess as the comedy goes, you must think about what's happening. I mean, kind of a Hooters with men instead of women. And you kind of let that go just as you go outside the envelope or envelope as much as possible. And it does seem to get funny. Is that pretty much what happens?
Yeah, I think taking an idea and saying, you know, this is the idea and, okay, let's push it a little bit farther just to see. It's, you know, in acting and screenplay writing, it's called raising the stakes. And so just, you know, trying to raise the stakes a little bit farther, trying to push it just a little bit more until it gets to a point where it actually is completely nonsensical, and then pulling that back a little bit to reality. And that's also why, you know, with the sort of outrageous, hilarious themes of the whole package, or hooks, I guess, of the whole package in Marriage Matters, then it's really important to me as a writer to make sure that the story, because, you know, that's well and good. The hooks are very funny and, oh, okay, could this ever happen? But really what makes an engaging story, in my opinion, is the relationship between the characters that are involved in that situation. So with the whole package, the best friends from high school, you know, there's a lot of stuff about their past together as friends and how they've grown over the years and how they're there for each other through thick and thin. And that's really the heart of the story.
There are authors out there known for, oh, the alphabet. Their books will start with one letter of the alphabet. There's authors out there that just might have the one name title of their book. Do I see a pattern here with three guys, now three women, and you're going to have your characters in threes?
You know, I was thinking for my next one, I might get a little wild and try for four characters. I might get crazy on that one. But I was also thinking it might be fun to take it down to one and to just do a character from a singular point of view and to tell a story that way. And that would give me more freedom to go really in depth with the story. One thing that I found in Marriage Matters, it ended up being a part one and a part two because we, you know, certainly there's so much to say if you're going to have a wedding with three generations of women. But then there's so much to say also if you're going to have relationships that start and develop with the men, with the three relationships of women. And then there's so much to say if you want to tell the story of those three generations of women and how they interact with each other. And so that's, you know, a lot to put into a very short book without making it an epic, you know, novel that's going to take you 3,000 years to read. So I think that some of the fun in just doing a singular character next time would be able to go into all those things really in depth and to explore just, you know, one character.
In Marriage Matters, it starts out with a wedding in Michigan on dunes, sand everywhere, even unspeakable places.
Unspeakable.
It's just crazy. But as the book goes on, tell me about the chapters and how you plan those out with each of the ladies, and then, of course, the ladies coming and going in each chapter.
In the beginning of the book, I introduce, you know, all the three characters together in the first chapter when they're up in the sand dunes at Lake Michigan with the wedding scene. And then I brought them back home to their city of Chicago. And I started with the youngest, and that's her story and sort of her backstory. And in my early chapter with her and with each character, what I try to do is to let the reader know immediately, okay, this is who this character is, and this is how they need to change by the end of the book. So it's sort of making a promise and a guarantee to your reader. And so showing that to them. And then the next character was with the mother, and the next character was then with the grandmother. So then from there, once the reader has that guarantee of these are each of who the characters are, and this is how they're going to change, then that's the time to start throwing in the, here's the catalyst, here's what's going to force them to change. And that in this particular situation are the men that they interact with. And so moving along with that story structure, with the introduction of who they are and then the catalyst that's going to force them to change, and then starting to incorporate those events that make that happen, and then eventually working towards your finale at the end where, hula, they've changed. And for the better.
Well, you know, Cynthia, let's find out about a website if I want more information about the whole package, Marriage Matters. And of course, this is not a trilogy. These are standalone books. I'm sure you have a website where we could go. And when we go to that website, what do we see?
Absolutely. I think you should visit CynthiaEllingson.com. It's CynthiaEllingson, Ellingson. ENNancy.com. And when you visit the website, you'll see descriptions of the book. You'll see upcoming events and tour dates. You'll see some fun little videos of me talking about the different books. And then also, you know, one thing that I love that's up on there is the Italian translation of the whole package. And so there's a beautiful cover shot of that, as well as the book trailer that they did in Italian. I still don't understand the word of it, but I'm working on it. So those are some of the things that you'll find on the website. I'm also on Facebook. You can find me at Facebook/Cynthia Ellingson, and also up on Twitter.
So, have plans on going to Paris here soon?
Well, I would certainly love to go to Paris. I keep hoping that those Parisians will invite me. I'm hoping they'll read the opening chapter of the whole package and say, oh, you capture our city so well. Please, let us be ambassadors to you and show it to you. But that hasn't happened so far.
Not yet. Well, perhaps it will. But it's a great tax write-off, too, if you wrap another story in there.
That's right. That's why I'm excited about the Italian version. That's awesome.
All right, Marriage Matters, a fun book. It's a novel. What a great summer read by Cynthia Ellingson. Tell you what, grab that. Grab one of those lounge chairs with one of those umbrellas on the sand. Listen to the waves in the background. Could be Lake Michigan. There could be a wedding going on. And immerse yourself in Marriage Matters. Cynthia, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for having me here, Mark. I really enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Cover to Cover. I've been your host, Mark DeWitt, along with Cynthia Ellingson, author of her brand new book, Marriage Matters. To access this or other audio programming, visit our website, theflypod.com.